In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think everybody here is pretty familiar with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And as you recall, the evil one in this particular series by J.R.R. Tolkien is Saruman. He is the personification of everything that is evil and forged this one ring, which is also the personification of evil. Everything was put into that ring. There's even an evil eye that is seen by those who have the ring on. And what's interesting about this is that when the ring is placed on Frodo's finger, of course, who's the hero of all of this, he is able to escape some of the things that are bothering him at that point. Whether somebody's trying to kill him, whatever it happens to be, he becomes invisible, and he uses that in order to avoid the danger. But at the same time, every time that ring goes on, he becomes very, very aware of the evil that is inherent in this ring, and even more importantly, that evil becomes aware of him. The evil portion zeroes in on him like a GPS tracker. He knows where he is and what he's doing. And so Frodo has to be very careful with this when he puts that ring on at any time. Now, we know that in this particular trilogy, J.R.R. Tolkien, who was a very Christian man, is trying to tell us something. And we think about what that is, because the ring that goes on Frodo involves the passions. Those are our passions when we put on that ring. And because life becomes very distorted and difficult at times, where we have to make really difficult choices, sometimes between the lesser of two evils, we find ourselves somehow engaging with it, even though we might not want to, but it's still an evil that we are finding ourselves dealing with. And so we have to be careful any time that we are making these sort of choices, because, again, as in the trilogy itself, when we engage evil at any point in time, even by the slightest little bit of our passions, then the devil becomes aware of us also. And that's what's scary about the whole thing. Because you can't participate in any type of evil, in any type of sin, degradation, whatever it happens to be, without the devil becoming aware that you are a participant. And this is the whole point of this book, the fact that evil is out there and that we have to engage it, even sometimes for the sake of good. But in doing so, it always becomes dangerous. Sometimes life throws us these conflicting choices at us, and one may be overtly sinful and one may be less sinful but still sinful, but we still have to choose one or the other because there is no other way. And so we try to choose the lesser of the evils, but at the same time we have to maintain that attitude of repentance. God, forgive me. I am in a situation in a fallen world, and sometimes I can't choose these things properly. So if I am engaging in this at all, please forgive me. It's a very, very difficult thing. And the problem becomes, as we saw in the trilogy as well, we see Middle Earth, which is sort of redolent of paradise, and then all the difficulties that Frodo has to go through in order to finally destroy this ring. We see that in all of this, it becomes very hard for us sometimes to get rid of the evil that is around us. In other words, it's also prevalent everywhere that we go. We're just swimming in it, that we become almost too used to it. And I think that's one of the things that as Orthodox Christians we have to be careful about today, especially. Because we are surrounded with so many things, so many negative things, that our lives go on And we become very much used to it. It's the world we live in. It's something we don't think about much anymore. And that's really a difficult thing for us to do, because in my mind, we have become too cavalier, if you will, towards evil. We have become too accommodating to it, if you will, because it's there. It's with us all the time. We get used to it. It becomes the norm for us, if you will. Now, take for instance, the United States, in fact, the whole world, just finished celebrating Pride Month, okay? As if pride of any kind is something to celebrate. It's not. And especially when that pride is speaking of things behind it that are egregiously sinful. So we were basically saying we're taking pride in our sinfulness. So we add sin upon sin in that regard. This is something that is becoming tormenting to all of us in this country. We have been assaulted recently with all sorts of transgender ideology and things like this that are destroying kids everywhere, that are tearing the country apart in many, many ways. That is an absolute evil. Make no questions about it. It's an absolute evil. And yet, sometimes we feel like, well, if we just keep silent, that's the best thing we can do. Because it's out there. It's bombarding us no matter where we go, whether you're on television or radio or go into stores or on the internet. You get this pitched at you all the time. And though it may irritate us and we get tired of us, it is an absolute evil that somehow we need to resist. Believe me, this whole transgender nonsense that's out there right now is second only to abortion in the plague that is happening in this country right now, because it assaults even the very dignity, the integrity of the human person. It's basically saying that you can be anything you want to be simply because you want to be it. And that's just utter nonsense. I remember when one of the Supreme Court justices was getting grilled by the Senate, and someone asked her, "Can you tell us what a woman is?" And she said, "Well, I'm not a biologist. I can't do that." And I was so disappointed that the following question that followed up to that wasn't, "Well, are you a woman?" And the answer would have had to have been, "Well, yes, I am." And the question after that would have to be, "Well, how do you know? How do you know you're a woman if you don't know what a woman is? If you identify as something, don't you have to know whatever it is that you're trying to identify after?" It makes no sense at all. And this type of stuff is swirling around, and even some of the so-called Christian churches are becoming enamored of this ideology and supporting it. And Orthodox have to resist this type of evil in the world. We have to be able to stand up to it, to say, no, this is not normal. This is not what the Lord has taught. This is not what human beings are all about. We simply cannot agree with these types of things. And of course, the temptation that will come upon us is to, well, let's lock and load and let's go after them. You know, when you're arguing with somebody, you want to argue and you want to, you know, all of a sudden the argument becomes less about the point you're trying to make and more about the fact that you're winning, if you are indeed winning. And so you don't want that to happen. And we think then, well, what can we do? What can we do if we can't go and argue somebody down? What else is left for us? And then we come upon a gospel passage like we read today, where a certain centurion has a sick child and comes to the Lord. And what does he do? He won't even let the Lord come to his house because he believes that he's too sinful for that. And so he retreats. He says, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." And Jesus says to him, "I tell you, I've not seen faith like this even among the people of Israel." So this particular man was demonstrating to all of us what our ultimate goal should be in terms of the way that we combat all this evil that swarms around us today. We should be humble about it. And that's the most difficult thing. Because when you hear someone saying something to you that you know goes against the faith and you want to shout them down, it's very difficult to be humble about it. It's very difficult to be prayerful about it. And a lot of times I've heard people say, well, I couldn't do this, that, or the other. I wanted to go march in front of that clinic or whatever it happens to be, and I couldn't do it. And I said, well, why don't you pray? And the response has been sort of, oh, pray. Well, I mean, you know, I guess I could pray, but almost like that's a secondary thing. That's the second choice in all of this. Oh, pray? No, why pray? I could be out there and, you know, really letting them have it. But no, you just want me to pray. I say, yes, just pray. Because that is the weapon that we as Christians have in all of this. That is how we combat things. We show the world by our humility, by our meekness, by our mildness, but yet by our fervor in what we believe, exactly what it is we believe. This is the thing that we should remember. Because, again, time after time, things are going to affect our culture. Things that are not only really against what many, many people in this country believe, but also that are profoundly anti-Christian. And that's what some of the ideologies that are being taught to us today by the powers that be, that are being propagated by the powers that be, are. They are anti-Christian, completely. End of statement. There's nothing else we can say about that except that that's true. And it's difficult to maintain a different stance in this world today. We do become fearful. We do become fearful. But the same Lord that tells us to be not afraid also gives us the power to maintain our confession in the midst of all these difficulties that come after us in life today. So take that mark of humility. Because without humility, then any argument we may make, anything that we may do in our lives to try and combat certain things that we see out there, it's all for naught without humility. Because that mark that the centurion showed us today, that mark of humility is what separates us from everyone else. Because if we just go out and join a crowd and start protesting things or whatever it happens to be, then you're just making it a political statement. But if you are doing it with a humble spirit, with a loving spirit, with a spirit that tells someone, look, I disagree with you, but here's why. It's because I believe in you as a person. It's because you are the most important thing in the eyes of God. Then we become persuasive. Then we become people who are following the way of our Lord Jesus Christ, who constantly, by his own life, showed us the way of humility. May we all, in these very difficult times, and I bring these things up in the sermon today because I hear about them all the time from a lot of you and from many other people. I normally try not to get into political things at all, but these things that I'm talking about are beyond political because they are attacking the very notion of what the human person is. And that's something that we have to stand up for because our God became man, a human person himself. So may all of us acquire this humility and go forth boldly and bravely and proclaim the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen.